Now, if you open up your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, I would like us to read from these verses here as we start our new series. So today is going to be like an introduction. Next week, we'll have a guest. And then the week after that, we begin a 10-week series in 10 Commandments. So if you're able, please rise for the reading of God's Word. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourners who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off and said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die." Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." The people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So as we begin this new series, I want to begin with a fun little quiz. And to be honest, men have more advantage over this quiz than women because it's about urinals. Okay. Now, some of you may recognize this and try to follow along, okay? But if you were to go into the washroom and this is what you saw, which urinal would you use or should you use? All right, number one. For the guys are kind of like going number one. And that would be the correct answer. And I'll explain why later, okay? For women, this is new. Now, if this is what you saw, what is the correct answer here? Number three. Okay, how do you guys all know this, right? Now, what would be the correct answer here? Okay. All right, some guys are saying no, you don't go there, okay? Now, it's either here or here, only in emergencies. If it's not an emergency, if you can wait, you just wait. And one last thing, where should you never go? Number four, right? All right, you guys got all the answers. Right, how does that work, right? Now, what are some other rules that we have? You may chat with the person as you're going to the washroom, right? Men rarely go together, but if you do, you can chat. But as soon as you stand in front of the urinal, you stop talking. You don't make eye contact, you just look down or look straight up, all right? You're straight forward. And you can resume chatting after you're done. Then, you know, these are all some of the etiquette, some of the rules that we have in the washroom. Now, nobody taught us these, Right? It's not written anywhere. These are unspoken rules that people follow. Right? When it comes to relationships or any kind of interaction, we need rules. Right? Even those who say that they don't want to be constrained by rules or regulations, those who want to be free, they still live by certain rules. In fact, we live in a world that is governed by rules and laws, right? Like, for example, laws of physics. These are rules that are consistent. Laws of thermodynamics, right? Laws of conservation of mass and conservation of energy, which is why we get fat, right? And law of gravity, which also reminds us that we're getting fat, right? Laws are everywhere. Rules are everywhere. In fact, if we want to live well in this world, in our society, in our communities, we need to live by rules. In the foreword of the book called That You May Live by Daryl Johnson, which is a book on Ten Commandments, Chris Price writes these words in the foreword. He says, "We all know every relationship needs rules to flourish. Every roommate situation, every friendship, and every marriage. Of course, the rules may be unspoken, but they exist nonetheless. We might not discover any particular rule until we break it and see the person's reaction, which clearly reveals we have transgressed some type of personal boundary. In the healthiest of relationships, these rules aren't burdensome or unnecessarily restrictive. Rather, the goal is always to bring life and health to the relationship." And I think that's true. All right, for kids, on your first day in school, you're usually anxious and stressed out because you're trying to figure out these rules of the school, right? Not just rules of the school, like, you know, like, don't do this, don't go in there, and so on, but like, who sits where the cool kids sit at, right? Or what the unspoken rule of the hallway are, and what the coolest trend is, and what is lame, and etc. These are all rules. Right? These are all unspoken rules that we try to catch, and the earlier we catch on, the happier our school lives are. If you're married or in a relationship, then you really have to try to figure out these rules. Right? Like Chris Price just said, we might not discover any particular rule until we break it and see the person's reaction. Right? Which clearly reveals we have transgressed some type of personal boundary. Right? You find out about these. Especially during you know, dating and so on, right? You think that everything's gonna be fine because you guys are, you know, trying to do things romantic and you care for one another. But in marriage, as you go in there, if you haven't talked about some of the rules that you might have, right, it's gonna get difficult pretty quick. And the earlier you go over these rules, the better it's gonna be. What about sports, right? Why are there rules in sports? They are there to protect the players, but also to make the game enjoyable, right? Rules are there to make the game enjoyable. There is joy in winning within the confines of set rules. Same thing with gaming, right? If you guys like doing challenges on the game, right? You are following the rules that are set and you're trying to overcome within the confines of that rule, and you become overjoyed when you actually make it, right? And in fact, those set rules bring up more creativity, more joy, and more thrill as the players pull off, you know, beautiful plays within the confines of the rules. For example, do soccer players complain that they can't hold a ball with their hands? No, they don't complain. They would actually complain if someone else did it. They would rather show off their skills with the rest of their body, right? Rules are there to protect and promote the well-being of people. Now, as you can see from the above examples, we don't consider those rules as restrictive and coercive, right? We don't consider them a bad thing. We look at those rules as a way to improve our lives, our well-being, our joy. And that's why we will be looking at the Ten Commandments. And as the subtitle said before, right, I want to call them the Love Manual for the Redeemed. Right, that's because the Ten Commandments will show us how to love better. And as the redeemed, we are, like the songs that we sang, we are a child of God. We are like the bride of Christ. We're sons and daughters of the Father. That's what it means to be redeemed. And these rules will help us to love better. This week, I will give you an introduction to the Ten Commandments, such as, you know, its background, like what it is and why it's necessary and so on. Right? And I will even teach you how to memorize them using what I've learned during my years as a children's pastor. Now, so let's ask questions like, what is the Ten Commandments? When and where was it given? Which we'll talk about actually next time. Who is this for? Why is it necessary? And how is it relevant? Right? Who, what, when, where, how, why? Let's look at what it is first, right? What is the Ten Commandments? First of all, if you try to look for the word Ten Commandments in the original Bible, like in Hebrew and so on, you won't find it because the word that they use is actually, it means 10 words, which is also why they call it a Decalogue, right? In Greek, deca meaning 10, log meaning word. So it's called Decalogue. So these 10 words that God spoke to the Israelites after rescuing them from Egypt are what we call the Ten Commandments. Now, I'm not going to embarrass you, so you don't have to answer, but just kind of maybe quietly nod or shake your head. But who remembers all 10? Right? Does anyone remember all 10? Probably, okay. Even though you go to Christian school, it's kind of hard to remember those, right? Sunday school too. And let alone you, who remembers them in order? Right? That's going to be kind of hard as well. Right, Ten Commandments used to be taught in Sunday schools all the time. And along with things like the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer. And unfortunately, out of those three main ones, we usually just remember the one, right? The Lord's Prayer. Now, not many people would know them by memory. And I hope that you'll remember these by the end of the series. And so here's a simplified version of Exodus 20, which is based off of, this list is based off of Exodus 20, right? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet. So let me teach you now how to remember these using a little action, right? So kids, I can't see you guys there, but then this would be a great chance for you guys to learn about Ten Commandments too. So here we go. If you guys too could just kind of free your hands a little bit, this is going to be easy. Okay, start with one. One, you shall have no other gods before me. That's pretty easy, right? Number two, make a little bowing motion, right? You shall have no idols before me. See, easy, right? Three, to write this way, like a little W, like a word, right? Watch your words, right? You shall not use God's name in vain, right? Put it by your lips to make it a little easier to remember. Four, right? You just do it like that, okay? This is you. This is your blanket, and you're kind of wrapping yourself, right? Rest, right? Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Rest, okay? Five, put your hands straight up, right? Like you're holding your hands to say something to your parents. Honor your parents, okay? Honor your parents. Number six, get your little finger out in your hand, right? This is another person. Don't murder, okay? That was good. Okay, don't put too much force there, okay? Number seven, dun, 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 like walking down the aisle, do not commit adultery, okay? Easy, right? Number eight, make a little bar, like the jail bar, prison bar there. Do not steal, because if you steal, you go to jail, okay? Just put it by your face, right? Number nine, this is you, okay? Don't bear false witness about others, right? You're gossiping, okay? Kind of easy. And number 10, right? Do this with your little hands. Do not covet, right? Do not covet. Like, you want other, yeah, you're doing really good there, JJ. All right, do not covet. So that's something that we can do to remember. Again, right? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no idols, right? You shall not put the Lord God's name in vain. You shall keep remember the Sabbath holy. Honor your parents. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness against your neighbors. And do not covet. Right? I'm going to test you guys next week. So, but before we learn about the rules, which is important, okay, we must learn about the relationship on which these rules are based on. I should have that up there. But Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 2, it says this. Okay? And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. right? I am the Lord your God. Now, Pastor Daryl Johnson, along with many other commentators, draw attention to the fact that the commands, the rules, are given after the relationship is formed, right? After being redeemed. So he says this, right? God's commandments are spoken after God's work of redemption. Sorry, that's the wrong page there. Right? God's commandments are spoken after God's work of redemption. That is, the law comes after grace. The law is given in the context of grace, which means keeping the law is not the means for getting saved. And to be honest, I didn't see that until this time around either. Right? I preached and taught the Ten Commandments in the past, but I was more focused on teaching the rules and what they mean. I missed the point about how the relationship comes before the rules. And what a relief that is, right? If we have to keep the rules in order to get the relationship, that's a heavy burden on us. But God gives us a new relationship as the redeemed people of God, and then we keep these rules. In fact, this ties in with what we shared last week on the parable of the lost sons, right? How you don't work in the Father's house to become a son. You work, you do the Father's work because you are his son, right? That's the difference. Relationship always comes before rules, and the rules are actually dictated by the relationship. My relationship with my wife is different than my relationship with my kids. Therefore, the rules of relationship between me and my wife will be also different than the rule of relationship between me and my kids. These rules, the Ten Commandments, are based on our relationship with God. God who says, I am your God and you are my people. In fact, God uses his covenantal name, Yahweh, in these verses. Right? Whenever you see capital L-O-R-D, right? Lord, or capital G-O-D, all caps, right? It's when the covenantal name Yahweh is being used. Now, because it's considered sacred and holy, and you don't want to put the Lord's name in vain, which is why they wouldn't speak this name, because they might misspeak it, right? They would write down the consonants, Yahweh, Y-H-W-H, in the consonants, but read it as Adonai, right? And then later on, they added the vowels, A-O-I. But then people, when they first saw that, try to read it as is, and that's where the word Jehovah, Yahuwah, comes from. So Jehovah's Witnesses, really, they're misreading the Hebrew there, right? Again, so that's his covenantal name that he's using here. He's emphasizing the relationship. This relates to the fact that God gave two tablets, right? You may remember the movie like Ten Commandments from a long time ago, or whatever you see the picture of Moses holding Ten Commandments, you see two tablets. And you may have thought that, as I did, that all the five commandments were written on one and five commandments were written on the other. In fact, if you go and read the Bible, like I did this time and then found out, like, oh, it's actually written on both sides. So unless God had really large fonts, he wouldn't need both sides, like four different sides to write the Ten Commands. What it is these two are duplicate copies. There are Ten Commandments on both the tablets. That's how the treaties worked back then. Right? That's how covenants were made. These are copies, like a contract for both parties. So this is a contract, a covenant between God and his people, much like a marriage vow. As people of God, this is how they ought to live in this new relationship with God. So if you try to merely keep these laws without the relationship, then it's going to be very dry and difficult. Some people don't want to be a part of Christianity because of all the restrictions set by these rules and laws. In fact, there are 613 commandments in the Old Testament, and the Pharisees would have added many more traditions on top of that. And you know what? I agree with them, right? I don't want that kind of a religion either. But I am all for developing and cultivating this relationship with God and with others by following these rules. These rules are here to help our relationship with God and with others flourish. And what's more, the Ten Commandments reveal who God is and who we are. And that's why we are learning these as well. I won't go into much detail here, for that is what I want to do each week for each of these commandments. But I do want to share what Dr. J.I. Packer said about this. He said, keep two truths in view, right, when studying these commandments. First, God's law expresses his character. It reflects his own behavior. It alerts us to what he will love and hate to see in us. It is a recipe for holiness, consecrated conformity to God, which is his true image in man. And as such, and this is the second truth, God's law fits human nature. As cars being made as they are only work well with gas in the tank, so we being made as we are only find fulfillment in a life of law keeping. This is what we were both made and redeemed for. So let me summarize what I've been saying by giving you the thesis for this series. I want to say that in light of who God is and who we are, the Ten Commandments teach us how to love God and others well as the redeemed people of God. And that is my thesis. Again, in light of who God is and who we are, the Ten Commandments teach us how to love God and others well as the redeemed people of God. Right? We can't take any part of this out. And that's what the Ten Commandments is about. So then who is this for? It's for the church. Right? It's not just us as individuals trying to keep this privately, although that is important, but this is for us to keep together as the church, as the redeemed people of God. Again, not so that we can earn our salvation, but because as a church, as a bride of Christ, this is how we love others in the church and those outside the church, and how we love God. If you try to keep all these commands by yourself, by your own power, you're going to have a very difficult time. But you do it with the mentality of doing it together, right? Being accountable to one another, keeping each other accountable. Then you have other brothers and sisters there to help you, and you help them. We must keep these together, for that is how we will show that we belong to Christ. Remember what Jesus told his disciples during the Last Supper. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Right? This is a new commandment that is based on the old commandments, right? Namely the Ten Commandments. Jesus is basically telling the disciples to love God and love others as it is written. Yet now that they've experienced God's love through Jesus Christ, he wants us to love others the same way. They can now love because they've tangibly experienced the love of God through Jesus. No longer can they echo the words of people in Malachi's prophecy saying, how have you loved us? They even got to experience the love of God through Jesus' washing of feet. And again, this commandment comes after Jesus washed their feet. The feet washing, the expression of love, this relationship comes before these rules. Again, grace before law. As a church, we stand before watching eyes. When Jesus called us to love one another, and the greatest commandments being loving God and loving our neighbors, we need to show the world what it means to love. When the world says, love is love, we must show the world that the love of God is unlike any other love. And we do that by loving one another the way Jesus loved people. And I hope to show you what that kind of love is through this series as we go through each command. For now, I just want to say that these commands, although they are very concise and simple, can be applied in every sphere of our lives. And that's because the Ten Commandments and the laws of God in general, right, do not impose but expose, right? They're not imposing. That is, it's not here to forcefully restrict us, right? Put us in a little box. Instead, they're exposing, meaning they reveal who God is and who we are, thereby guiding us to love one another better, and that gives us freedom. And as we will see when we look at how Jesus explains some of these commands for us, right, they are more expansive than we think. Again, although we only have 10, this list is not exhaustive, right? But they are expansive. So think of each of these commands like the trunk of a tree, and the many branches of application can come about with the help of God's wisdom and the Holy Spirit. So again, these are for the church, for the redeemed people of God. So then why is it necessary? Right, we know intuitively that the Ten Commandments are important, but do we really get its necessity? Right? It feels like everyone in the society kind of knows these rules, right? Do not murder, sure, do not steal, all these things. But imagine a world, right? Just for a second, imagine a world where everyone lived by the Ten Commandments. What do you think it will be like? Right? You wouldn't need locks on your doors. You wouldn't need to spend an enormous amount of money on national security. You wouldn't need prisons. You wouldn't need police, right? That's just a few things to name. But that's not how it is in reality, is it? Right? Before you came to church, you probably locked your doors. When people do not believe in God, nor what he has, what he says about us and how we should live, we have to decide for ourselves what is good and evil. People like Nietzsche, like we saw last time, said, if God is dead, then we have to become gods and decide for ourselves what is right or wrong. Machiavelli famously said, right, might equals right. Then what about those without power, right? What can we say about them? And in this postmodernistic world, whoever has the loudest voice wins. And history, they say, is written by victors. And as I was studying to prepare for this series, I read a book by Kevin DeYoung on Ten Commandments, and he introduced me to what is called the Atheist's New Ten Commandments. This is actually from an article on CNN website, so you can check that out on Google. But what it is a crowdsource, meaning they got these from people, right? And they wrote these 10 non-commandments because they didn't want to be coercive, spearheaded by Lex Baer, an executive at Airbnb, and John Figdor, a humanist chaplain at Stanford University, right? Smart people, powerful people. And they received more than 2,800 submissions, and through a panel of 13 judges, they selected 10 winners who would receive $10,000. And this is that list. They say, be open-minded and be willing to alter your beliefs with new evidence. Strive to understand what is most likely to be true, not to believe what you wish to be true. The scientific method is the most reliable way of understanding the natural world. Every person has a right to control of their body. God is not necessary to be a good person or to live a full and meaningful life. Be mindful of the consequences of all your actions and recognize that you must take responsibility for them. Treat others as you would want them to treat you and can respectably expect them to want to be treated. Think about their perspective. Sounds familiar? We have the responsibility to consider others, including future generations. There is no one right way to live and leave the world a better place than you found it. Right? You probably heard these things somewhere or from your friends. Maybe you even believe some of these. And number 7, for example, is famous because that's actually the golden rule by Jesus, paraphrased. But if you spend some time thinking over these, you'll find many contradictions. First of all, for what is called non-commandments, to not sound coercive, there are still commandments that command us to act or not act a certain way. And these are all basically truth claims. They're claiming these to be true. For example, number 9 says there is no one right way to live, yet the rest are all how we ought to live, right? So these are all subjective, basically. And number 2 can be applied to atheists as well, for they wish to believe that God is not real. And number 5 talks about good person, and number 9 says there's no one right way to live, so what is good? Number 10 tells us to leave the world a better place than you found it, but how do you know what is better unless there's a universal standard of what is good and better? Right, the car, for example, doesn't write a manual by itself. The car manufacturer writes them. The manual for human life is written by the Creator and the Creator alone. Right, you watch shows like Breaking Bad, and you can see what happens when people live contrary to these rules by the Creator. Sin always ends up destroying others and ourselves. God gave us a way to love others. Right? The one who loves us and wants to give us life and give it abundantly tells us with his own voice how we ought to live. Just before the Israelites enter the promised land, after spending 40 years in the wilderness, they hear Moses command the new generation of Israelites to obey God's commands. So he basically goes over all the commands in the Pentateuch. And then he says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1, and repeats basically the same thing in these other verses too. He says, "And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you and do them that you may live." Right, Moses reminds them to obey because God wants them to live and to live well. The Ten Commandments are God's wish for our well-being. So lastly, how is it relevant? How is it relevant to us living in 21st century, living in Canada, living in Vancouver, as the diaspora immigrants living in this city, for example? Right, as we have just seen, the world is full of many truth claims. Right, in a postmodernistic society, truth is relevant. Meaning people believe that there is no absolute truth anymore. What you believe is true for you, what I believe may not be the same, but I believe that this is true. Everyone lives by their own truth. But we now live in what is considered post-postmodernistic society. Everyone has their own truth claim, yes, but what matters now is authenticity. The world will pay attention to those who live authentically, those who live with integrity. The world is turned off by staged viral videos, right? There are so many of them out there because they want their likes and get influencers, so they stage it. And people are kind of turned off by that now. They want organic, authentic interactions. They don't want to see Christians putting up a facade. They want to see Christians living out what they believe. The world will ask us, are these commands, the Ten Commandments, another truth claim? Right? Can you actually back it up? Can you show that it's something truly good, something that brings life and health to us and our societies? And the Bible says yes. Not just with words, but it backs it up with a person, Jesus. The one who came to fulfill the law. The one who kept all these commands. The one who came to live out the standard of God. And you can see how perfect he is. As we try to live out these commands, using them as our love manual to love God and love our neighbors the way God wants us to love them, we serve as signposts to Jesus. Again, Jesus commands his disciples to love one another so that people will know that we are his disciples. And our goal as disciples is to be more Christ-like, to grow to be more like Jesus. And as Jen Wilkins says in her book, she says, lawfulness is Christ-likeness. To obey the law is to look like Jesus Christ. So let's love together. Let's love like Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for these words that you've given us through your own voice to the Israelites so that we may live. Help us to love you and love our neighbors as Christ loved us, knowing who you are and who we are in light of all these truths, Lord God. Help us to show that we are your disciples by loving one another in this church first as brothers and sisters and to our neighbors who yet to meet you as the Father who created them. So we thank you in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.